Mr. Whitaker.
Hey, I'd love to hear where you guys are from.
Well, LA, I guess, by way of Pittsburgh.
I've
been in LA since 75, so I guess I might as well say LA, but grew up in Pittsburgh.
And what outlet are you from?
EURweb.com, sorry.
Oh, it's been media.
Lee Bailey, by the way.
I'm not, I'm from EURweb, too.
From Row Features, used to be part of Entertainment Newswire Billboard.
Cool. Angela Ortiz, I'm from Sephia Online.
Okay.
Véronique Dupont, I'm with Agence France Presse, AFP News. Okay. Congrats on the movie.
Thank you.
So, basic question, how did the great Forest Whitaker get involved with this film? You picked another one to become involved with. Was it by chance or what?
Well, I mean, you know, we have our company, you know, Significant, and Rick brought the project to us. He had an idea at the time, and he talked about it, and he had a lookbook that he put together of what he wanted to do and think about. And so ultimately, through all the process of it, we decided to go ahead and produce this film, and that's how it
Well, as far as I'm concerned, and I think pretty much everybody here at the table, you got pretty much a classic here. It's a great, great, great film. Did you see it coming?
I think we saw that it could be a great film. You know, whether it was a classic or not, I don't know. Did you have an idea of it?
I just love the fact that it was a unique story and Rick giving voice to characters that I haven't seen in the marketplace for a long time. So Forrest and I discussed, like, we should, you know, try to go for this. It's ambitious to make it independently, but we actually, you know, once we signed on with Rick, we went to many studios, and they turned us down. Just like, but then we already experienced that through Fruitvale Station, when they all turned us down, too. So we're not afraid. So we're very fortunate to work with a group of investors from Asia who back the films that we want to do. They don't put stipulations on, oh, you have to get this cast or that cast, because they know everything we do is a multicultural content and diversity-driven, you know, film. So we're just fortunate in taking this on. We just knew it was something so unique. We didn't know how big and wonderful it got, but all we can do is put our best effort forward in making quality films, and that hopefully that drives itself forward.
How much was the budget of the movie, and can you explain a bit who are these Asian investors?
I don't know.
Well, the studio doesn't want us to talk about the budget. I mean, that's one thing, but because making it independently was very challenging. It should have been a studio film, as you guys saw. But our Asian investors are actually just good friends of ours who took the journey with us on Fruitvale Station. And ever since then, they just said, they're you know, a couple of them are high net worth individuals. We now are working with some institutions that will be continuing to fund our films going forward. But they're just people who believe in our mandate of making quality films with unique voices, diversity-driven, multicultural content.
So this right into line is the kind of brand you guys are developing.
Yeah.
I think it's a brand that's like trying to like allow people to have new, fresh voices to be heard. And I think when Nina, to give Nina credit, I think she's so fiscally responsible too that...
It's because I'm Chinese.
that I think our investors recognize it. We've been fortunate.
How would you define the indie filmmaking process today? Do you think it's different? The process is different now compared to how it was like in the late 80s when Sex, Lies, and Videotape kind of made the indie filmmaker, you know, noticeable to the mainstream audience. Do you think the indie filmmaking process is different now compared to what it was like 20 years ago?
There's a similarity, but it's very different. I mean, no one called it independent film. I think when I did The Crying Game, which is like one of the first sort of perennial like independent films, you know, we were just trying to raise money, and people were trying to figure out how to get the movie made, which is what I think is a constant with independent filmmakers. It's just that now there's other forces, not for us necessarily, other forces that are almost like forcing some of these independent films to just be studio knockoffs, you know, of following their template, their system, you know what I mean? Not necessarily what I consider independent film is like a filmmaker who has an independent vision, who sees the world and the universe in an independently different way, and we find a way to support that, you know, for me. And I think that would be the answer.
Yeah, I think the independent landscape has shifted quite a bit because ever since, you know, 2008, 2009, the economy crashed, and people are a lot more careful about investing in independent film because it is high risk. But then sometimes people are like, oh, I made this independent film for $25 million. I'm like, that's not it.
Yes.
This is an independent film.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Is an independent film supposed to be, quote unquote, cheaper or under a certain number?
I think the value is how much is it worth to a studio, a buyer. I mean, that's number one, is how much is it worth at the end of the day. But more importantly, if you just talk to Rick, Rick told me, he's like, Nina, you know, I'm so grateful to you and Forrest because we would never have been able to make the movie what you see today if it wasn't done independently. It would probably still be in development hell at a studio. It would probably not have the same cast because they'll say these casts aren't worth anything. It wouldn't have the creative vision and liberty for him to do what he wanted to do. So that's the beauty of an independent film, independent cinema, is doing what the original vision of the director is, with guidance of Mr. Whitaker, who says, you know what, maybe we can do this and that, when, you know, he's the creative producer. And I said, you know, we're running into certain concerns with this scene. Can you go in and help him? And he being a filmmaker himself and a creative force, he and Rick can connect on that level, while I just taking care of all the logistics, you know, the scheduling to make sure we meet our deadlines. So independently, it was all hands on deck on every element to make it happen, but maintaining the vision of what our filmmaker wanted.
Now, there's a lot of kids today that are aspiring filmmakers. They use YouTube, social media, and all that good stuff. Do you guys find, do you ever look on YouTube or anything and you find people that you want to work with, like Wong Fu or those kind of groups?
I don't know if you do. I haven't.
I see some because people send it to me. Yeah. But I just, for us, it's really about the screenplay. Mm-hmm. You know, the screenplay, and then we meet the filmmaker. Is this somebody who we really can vibe with, that we would love to, you know, realize their vision?
Yeah.
So we have another film called Songs My Brothers Taught Me about Native American youths. And that was also in Sundance, also in Cannes. And it was because the filmmaker and us just fell in love, going, her vision is so beautiful, and she's doing a story about something that people forgotten about.
It's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
The film is very funny, but it comes out at a time in America when there's a tense conversation about racial relations. Did you expect it would happen in such a time, in such way, and do you think it can maybe bring something important to this conversation?
I think it's a part of the dialogue. I mean, the director clearly was like dealing with like perceptions and profiling, just on each individual character in the movie, how you perceive them, where you see them, and who they really are, you know. But of course, then at the end, he like makes a very strong statement, you know, when Malcolm starts to divine, like, who am I? Who do you see that's standing right in front of you? And that's a big part of the conversation that's going on, of like people who are being profiled, you know.
And I think,
the movie deals with profiling even in the subtle ways, though, like, because that's just perception. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how do you perceive A$AP Rocky's character? I mean, is he a drug dealer? Is he a philosopher? You know, I mean, who is he? You know what I mean? Who is, you know, Quincy's character? You know, and you know, kid living in it looks like a Baldwin Hills area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, who's like trying to be a certain way, and he's a living example of trying to figure out his own, you know, identity.
Right.
So I think the movie tries to, in a, I think, a very entertaining way, be part of the dialogue. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You've been such a wonderful actor, but you've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scene now, behind the camera. Which part are you enjoying the most right now? Is it both or one of the
last
other?
Question.
Finding these projects, to bring it out.
I mean,
to us, to enjoy.
I think, in honesty, I think it's enjoyable to see people touch their dreams. You know, I think even sometimes when you're like struggling with like the craziness of the production, and she like figures and walks through it, that's enjoyable to me. You know,
he talks me off the ledge a lot.
And these new actors and stars and directors, and that's all enjoyable to me. I don't really, I think, if anything, that's where I kind of get into it with almost all the projects now. I have like a different point of view on the art, I think, than I used to, you know.
But we want to know, are you enjoying doing both, or do you prefer the behind the scenes, or?
I mean, I think I'm fortunate because with the producing part, I mean, I can like deal with some of the creative aspects and stuff, which is that's really more fun part sometimes for me. I think the question is, you know, how much am I enjoying either? You know, I think I'm on a journey right now to figure out what's the next advancement of myself as an artist, mm-hmm. and I haven't figured that out yet. Mm-hmm. And so both of them are in the same sort of place for me. You know, I'm just a part of me trying to figure out what it is I'm supposed to be elevating to.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.